Proverbs 16, 1 to 9. Mortals make elaborate plans, but God has the last word. Humans are satisfied with whatever looks good. God probes for what is good. Put God in charge of your work, then what you have planned will take place. God made everything with a place and purpose. Even the wicked are included, but for judgment. God can't stomach arrogance or pretense. Believe me, he'll put those upstarts in their place. Guilt is banished through love and truth. Fear of God deflects evil. When God approves your life, even your enemies will end up shaking your hand. Far better to be right and poor than to be wrong and rich. We plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. How true. We often say God planned, or we plan, God laughs. The second comes from Philippians, the third chapter, beginning at verse 12. I'm not saying that I have this all together that I have made, but I am well on my way reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward. To Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running this same course, headed for this same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross. But Easy Street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belches are their praise. All they can think of is their appetites. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting for the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be under and around him. My dear friends, I love you so much. I do want the very best for you. You make me feel such joy, fill me with such pride. Don't waver. Stay on track, steady in God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Joyce. Normally, I'd be reading scripture here. We're going to do things a little different this week. Seeing as last week we did things a little different. You know, last week was a kind of a on the run, here we go. We got to change plans. So in that thought process, so when I started researching come Monday morning, I still had that in my head. And I got thinking about an email that Jim sent me. And he sent me, he asked the question, he says, does Session have a plan if something happens when people come down with coronavirus? And of course I had a reply, no. We don't have a plan. So I'm sitting in my office on early Monday morning thinking, okay, so where are we going to go? And this email keeps going through my mind, and this song kept going through my mind. It was by Fleetwood Mac back in 1977. I'm certain all of you know what it is. The song is Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow. But it's still going, but I'm thinking, well, all right, what are my lectionary texts for this week? So I go in and I start reading the lectionary text. I'm going through the Bible, and I'm reading it, and I actually started to write a sermon on what you may get next week. We'll see. But I started working on that, and it's like I come to a complete halt. Like, this is not working. He's not leading me. Where am I going? And this stupid song kept coming back in my head. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. So I thought, in order so we have a better flavor of what I was going through, I want you to listen to it, and I want you to pay attention to the words a little bit. Crazy week. This week, especially since I got that song in my head and I couldn't get rid of it. So I said, all right, Lord, I'm willing to talk about it, but you need to show me the scriptures. And he did. It was in Proverbs that Joyce read for us this morning, and in Philippians. So that's where I was going. And the more I really thought about this, and I got thinking and praying for it, and I'm thinking, so what does he want me to talk about? Maybe talking about making plans. How do we set goals? And Paul really gave us instructions here in our Philippians text. And I think that that's the three things that he really gave us
One, pray. We got to pray for direction first. And then we have to prepare for action. And thirdly, we have to plan for opposition. That's what Paul's really talking about in these texts. In other words, God is trying to tell us, when the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, one of the smartest men that ever lived, wrote to us. So I really got to thinking about this, and I got writing the message out. I got my sermon all written. I'm ready. I was good to go by Wednesday morning. It's all right. This thing's ready to go. I'm ready to send it out, and I'm thinking, but there's something missing. God, I really need a better example to help get through the sermon, make it real to everybody. And lo and behold, on Friday morning, he doesn't exactly go by my timetable. He said, we got a different plan. Because you see, Friday morning, Bonnie was supposed to be at the airport at 6:45 in Scranton. So I got Bonnie out of bed at 3:15 in the morning. So she'd have her time so we could get down there a little bit early. I get her out of bed at 3:15. She gets up, all chippered, ready to go. We got big plans. We had these plans made. They're set on the calendar. We're ready to go. We're going to be on our way. So she's up, and she gets dressed, puts her face on, picks up her phone, and a message comes across. Your plane has been delayed for 2 hours. I got thinking about it, what was that first song? What were the first verses of that words? If you wake up and don't want to smile, it may take just a little while. I wanted to preach it to her right then. But as I thought about that, so she gets up, and it's all right. So your plane has been delayed 2 hours. Okay, so yeah, we take a little nap before we head down. We can eat breakfast. So we eat a little breakfast, get your morning ritual done, and then we can go. Well, then it says, you're going to miss your next flight, so we changed your plans again. We rescheduled you for a flight at 5:30 in the afternoon. Well, then she was not happy at all. And I'm thinking, okay, there goes this day, but that's all right. We'll make do with something else. And she's not happy at all. She's planning on spending the day with my son and his wife and the boys, and they'd both taken the day off. Well, God has different plans for us, doesn't he? You know, we make our goals, we set them, we try to get in a direction to go. We pray, if we pray about them, we think we're all good to go. That's not always the way it's going, no. You know, we make plans and God laughs. So the more I thought about it, I thought we really need to talk about this. And I thought about, well, maybe we need to figure out how to make plans in sessions for when these little events happen. So I got thinking about, how do we plan for the future? How do we know? How do we set goals? And I think Paul is trying to teach us the ways of doing that. So when you go and you read the myth to my sermon today that's online, it's not this. If you were in the parking lot and heard that song going, we didn't change stations. Your radio's still fine. So there was a convention of fortune tellers. I forget where it was now. I had it wrote down somewhere. Anyway, so they're all getting together. They're going to swap stories, and they're going to learn how to use everything. And so they're all in this convention center. They got their crystal balls and their tarot cards and everything else they would normally use to predict the future, predict people's fortunes. Well, it seems that night a robber's come in, and they stole it all. So they call the cops. The cops show up, and they ask the obvious question. So why didn't you predict this? You know, we have to ask ourselves the same question sometimes. Why didn't we plan better? Why couldn't we predict what was going to happen? Well, because we all know nobody can predict the future except God. That's why it's so important to pray. So, when I thought about that, I thought, what do we really need to do? So if you wake up and don't want to smile, it just takes a little while. Open your eyes and look at the day, and you'll see things in a different way. That's how Fleetwood Mac put it. You know how Jesus put it? In the Gospel of John, verse 10. In chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Think about Jesus' plan. He had a plan, and the reason he had it was so that he would come, have life, and that we would have it to the full. We need to make the best of it. We need to learn how to smile. No matter when our plans change, when God changes our plans, whatever he puts in our way. My dad always told me, you got to laugh about it. You got to see the best side of things. So that's what I tried to do last week. I thought, How are we going to do this? How are we going to make it? What kind of plan are we going to set? How do we set a goal? We have to pray. We need to pray for that direction. So when we're praying and we're looking towards the future, there's a few things we need to really understand. And probably the things we need to understand the most and pray for, we have to ask ourselves these questions when we plan. The first thing we have to ask is, so will it get me to where I want to go, which really is a deeper and a more intimate relationship with God, and be able to accomplish what he wants me to do? Second question we need to ask ourselves is, will it help make somebody else successful in fulfilling God's words, his will? Then we have to ask ourselves, do I have to violate a spiritual principle to get there? And the fourth question, before we make any plans or set any goals in our lives, is, will it fulfill God's purpose for my life? As I thought about this more, and I thought, okay, so if we're going to pray to God, we want to set goals, what's the best way to do it? The best way is, when you set a goal, to make sure that it happens, is what? Plan for the action, you have to write it down. So if you want to make a plan for any kind of action, you got to make a commitment. So in our house, we write it down. If it hits the calendar, this better happen. So we have a calendar in our kitchen that Bonnie writes every commitment on, so we don't forget. Sunday morning, Monday morning, every Monday morning, when I sit down in my office, I have a little sheet down there. I have a notebook down there. It's full of, okay, this is what I have to get done this week. This is my commitments for the week. I will get this done. I've forgotten to do that a couple of times, and trust me, it was not fun. So I've learned that if you want to make a commitment, you got to write it down. I know the psychologists, they've done studies on it. They say that people who make commitments, maybe 5% of the time they'll do it if they just have it in their hand, but 95% of the time, if they write it down, it'll actually happen. So what did Paul tell us? He said, one thing I do. He set for the goal. He wrote it down. So the second thing we really need to look at then, so we have to prepare for this action. So in verse 2 and in Fleetwood Mac's little song, it says, why not think about times to come and not about the things that you've done? So if your life was bad to you, just think of what tomorrow will do. What would your tomorrow be like if you didn't have God? If you didn't know that He would be with you and help you in all that you do? It'd still be bad, wouldn't it? So we have to think about it with a smile on our face and thinking, okay, God, where do you want me to go? Plans change. Acts. Let me read you. Paul knows about this. In Acts, if I can get to the book of Acts, chapter 16, I want to read you verses 16 through 10. Read verses 6 through 10. So this is Paul's, he had a vision. What was Paul's vision? Paul's vision was to preach and to teach to everyone possible. And he made plans to go to Asia Minor and Bithynia. And he had it all worked out where he was going to go there. Then all of a sudden he had a disagreement with Barnabas. And they split ways. Uh-oh. Plans change. But when we prayed for goals in our life and we pray for a plan of what God wants us to do, He usually gives us a vision of where He wants you to be at the end of life. No matter the plans you made, a lot of times the steps will change. So when this happened to Paul, so in chapter 16 and in Acts, we read Paul, he says, and Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Guess what? You're not going to Asia, Paul. And he writes in verse 7, he says, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. He stops and begins. Boy, Paul's plans aren't working out well. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got up and at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Even Paul's flight got changed. Bonnie wasn't the only one. I wanted to explain that to her when she left, but she wasn't in real good humor. And she's going to kill me when she hears the sermon. I planned on that. I planned for action. I got a church family to defend me. Best plans, best laid plans, they always change. And you know what? We can make all the plans we want, but God's going to be the one who actually decides what direction we go. The visions will never change. But we do need to plan for opposition. When I thought about planning for opposition, I thought about some of those in the Bible that planned for, who had all kinds of opposition. Take Moses, for example. Oh, it was one opposition after another. I mean, one thing after another got in his way. By the way, he was trying to get the people out of Egypt. Or maybe you want to think about Joshua. Think of the opposition that he had when he was trying to take the people across into the promised land. He had all these naysayers. There was 12 of them. 12 spies that went over originally. And I'm not going to name them all because I don't have them all on the top of my head. I did read it in the sermon, though, if you listen to it. But him and Caleb were the only ones come back. said, put a smile on your face. We can do this. Just a little opposition. There's not just giants there. All those who opposed them thought their God was too small, but Joshua and Caleb, they knew that their God was big enough. When I thought about them, and I got about thinking about all the different obstacles we face, no matter what obstacle you're facing in life, I remembered a reading I had one time. It was about, the world is full of dreamers. But too many people, because of the opposition, let their dreams be crushed. There was a blind man who once wrote, "So we are bound by the limits of our touch." Or maybe an ignorant man. I've kind of related to this. So as we were limited only by what we know, by knowledge. But the best one I know in my life was by a great man once wrote. He said, we're only bound by the limits of our vision. Sometimes we think that vision of where we need to be, where we need to end up at the end, sometimes we lose that vision. We don't keep the ultimate goal in our sights. But the biggest problem is we face not only the opposition of others, but it is of failure. Who's ever lost at anything? Come on. We've all been there. If you ever played Rummy with my wife, you lost. I think she cheats. No. But I think about it. I think one of the great examples, what was his name? Duke Rudman. Duke, I don't know if your name is familiar, but he decided that he was going to form his own company and drill oil. So he went to college. Of course, he failed out of college. But he decided anyway he wasn't going to give up on his dream, on his vision, so onward he went. And for the next 2 years, he dug, I don't know, countless wells. For every little bit of money he could get, he originally would dig a well, and it would be dry. He didn't strike oil until he was 40. On his 13th land purchase, he finally hit oil. And he would continue to fail after that. But the last account that I know of, he's worth about $220 million today because he kept after it. And he had an interview one time, and he says, and when they were asking him how he made it, he says, "I didn't accept failure." We all know that failure isn't final. Most time, failure isn't fatal. We need to keep that in mind when we face opposition. Yep, you're going to fail. And yes, there's going to be opposition. You're going to have foes. There's no way around it. That's all part of God's plans. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. Think about it. I got thinking about this. Good example when we close here. Think about a Japanese bonsai tree. How tall they get? 15, 18 inches maybe. But they are beautiful. And they never get any bigger than that. Why does that happen? Well, so when they're young, they pull them out of the ground. And they tie off the roots. And then they put them back in the ground so they can only grow so far. But they end up gorgeous and everybody gets to see them. Or, as opposed to, maybe a sequoia out in California. I know when we were out there, we went and saw the sequoias. They're mammoth. We saw one, I think it was the General Sherman, what's it? This is like 272 foot tall. It's 79 feet across. I mean, if you were going to cut this baby down and build houses out of it, you could probably build 45 homes, I think. All of them with five rooms. I'm thinking, it's really huge. But think about this. When I thought about them trees, I thought, if we are bound, we can only get so big. But God, He has released us from those bindings. He has overcome in all the ways we plan in our life. We can plan. We can set goals. And God will be with us, and He'll help us. And if there's only one goal you set in your whole life, that's to be with God, to do His will. We need to set that goal. Make sure that in the end, we end up in heaven with Him. And He welcomes us and says, well done, good and faithful servant. So I took the time and I kind of rewrote verse 3. And don't stop thinking about tomorrow. So if I were to write that song, verse 3 would go, all God wants is to see His smile. Even if it takes a little while, just believe that it's true. Eternal life is what He wants for you. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for an opportunity to come, to share Your word, to share our life, to help us in setting of our goals. We do pray that You would help us, give us direction. Help to prepare us for action and to protect us from the oppositions. As we know, we will face them. But we know in the end what we want is to be with You eternally and to do Your will while we are here, while we have the opportunity. So this morning I ask You to guide us, keep us, and protect us in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.